Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, who is a very famous and well-known companion, and every companion has his own color, style, and he had a unique style, manner. And he himself in this hadith states, he narrates this hadith, that I was 8 years old, and the merciful Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's respected, honorable service, I started to live with him, amongst him, and this honor was ajeeb, great honor that he attained as a companion. He was young, his mother took him to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that please accept my child in your service. What a mother, alhamdulillah, and what a child. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was merciful and he accepted him in his service. And from the age of 8 years, he said that I was in the service of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So imagine how much, think, from the age of 8 years he had the suhbat, the connection, the company. And if you take a wali, an example, if a person sits in the company of a wali, a friend of Allah, is stated that one moment in the company of the wali of Allah, if a person sits in the company of a wali Allah, 100 years of ibadah without riyah, that one moment in the company of the wali is better than that. Why? Because his iman elevates, it progresses, promotes. And iman is the greatest asset. Allah Ta'ala has given this quality, يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ مُتَّقُوا لَكُونُوا مَا الصَّادِقِينَ. Quran states this clearly, that that's why you should look for pious company, sit in the company of pious people. So that's an example of a wali Allah, friend of Allah, pious person, the reward of sitting in his company. We see. So those people who, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, who had the company, the sohbat of Imamul Anbiya, the head of the Prophets, imagine the nur, the barakat, the hikmah in his life, and how much the other companions must have been envious of him. And he wasn't just in some normal company, the company of the Imamul Anbiya, day, night, what he must have seen, alhamdulillah, Hazrat Anas. So his words, imagine the unique, brilliant words of his, Hazrat Anas, what I'm going to think. Now this hadith, imagine the color and the style and the effect of this hadith and how precious the words and the learning in this hadith. So Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu narrates that in this company, honorable company, Sohbat-e Sharifa, the first nasiha that the merciful Prophet gave to me, subhanallah, the words that he communicated to me, I present them in the service of the ummah. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu is saying, imagine how great a communication, the first nasiha, first advice of the Holy Prophet to the great gift that the Imamul Anbiya is given to Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu. So, azim, great words they must have been. And what a big part of the deen it must be in that lesson, that message. A big part of the deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do amal on this. Ameen. So what was that nasiha? What was that advice? What were the words in that communication, that advice that Rasulullah gave to Hazrat Anas? He said that the Holy Prophet Rasulullah said, O Anas, when you enter into the home, then the people at home, the house folk, first and foremost, present salam to them. Give salam to them. Imagine how great an action this is. Imagine. What a great deed this is. At the time, Rasulullah said, that as Anas radiallahu said, that Rasulullah gave me nasiha, advice. Not hukam, nasiha. There's a difference in hukam and nasiha. Instruction and advice. Subhanallah. Hukam is hukam, firm, strict. And nasiha is muhabbat, love, affection. That's why I stated that my Shaykh gave me this nasiha. It's not hukam. Nasiha, within that there's love embedded. There's affection, there's pain that Allah Ta'ala develops the pain in the heart for the other person. So he stated that Rasulullah gave me nasiha. He said that when you enter into the home, then first and foremost, the action you should do is to the house folk, present your salam. Obviously, if Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if he gives a gift, then it's not a minor thing that he's giving. What is it? What is the reward of that action? Imagine. What a great reward there will be for the action. That the sunnah of Rasulullah, imagine the great reward and how
what Allah Ta'ala gives in that action. Imagine.
What doesn't Allah give? And alongside that, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what is the reward? About after giving salam, we don't know, do we? But not this, that Rasulullah kept us without the information. We should also realize so that we don't live the life of negligence and laziness and become lazy on this action. Obviously, if we see that when you enter into the home, sometimes there's opposition, there's some issue with somebody, there's some thing going on, brother and sister have a bit of a clash, or maybe the auntie, khala, husband and wife, a little bit of a clash, etc. Maybe there's some tension, negativity, sometimes tension with the children, some issues have arisen. But when you enter into the home, the man, subhanallah, then forget all quarrels, forget all issues, forget who's sitting in front of me, my wife argued with me just now, my son, my wife, or this, and we just had an issue. Forget all issues, problems, negatives, and we have to accept this gift of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first thing we need to do when we go home, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First thing, tie your knot. In Punjabi they say, is per gand marlo. Write this on your heart. This is so simple, such a beautiful ibadah, we cannot get better than this in our destiny. Look at the reward. What a great reward for this one action Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us. Because this is a gift. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu was given this gift. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu was given this gift. He was khadim. And after giving service, khidmat, the gift that the person gets is a great gift. The khadim's rank is very high. The khadim, I remember this hadith, the meaning of the hadith is such, on the day of judgment, a pious person, a wali Allah, subhanallah, without hisab, accounting, it will be given him the direction, go to Jannah, without accounting, you will go into paradise. There are people like this in the world, alhamdulillah, who have worked hard, they crushed their desires, their nafs, they annihilated their nafs, they annihilated their desires based desires. This is the test for us, challenge. On one side, there are sugar-coated options, and it's so bitter maybe, the right thing. But they're bitter, but on top there's sugar, and the sugar-coating. When you start to suck that sweet, you see how much bitterness comes. Sometimes, you know when the medicine's given, prescribed to eat, there's a big tablet to eat, and on there it's written, it's coated nicely, so that it's not tasted bitter, and after a while, your whole neck becomes bitter. The sin is the same thing, the sin. But those people, we say they're pious, good people, oh, he's a high level, we're all the same. How did he become pious? Because he controlled his nafs for the sake of Allah. He feels like his heart feels like doing something, he says, no, I won't do this because I don't want to displease Allah. That's the one reason. That's the biggest factor, all these things we're doing. Salah, dhikr, ta'aleem, tabliq, propagation of deen, dhikr. All of them have a reason behind it. Common denominator, one reason or objective to attain. If you don't have this niyyah, if you're not attaining this, then all actions are a waste. Dhikr is a waste. Every amal of ours will become a waste if we don't have this reason, this intention, this concept, this thinking, this intention, this factor behind actions, that the action I'm about to commit, what do I want to attain from that? Is that I want to, with regards to my nafs, I want to control my nafs and use it in accordance to Allah Ta'ala's instruction. I don't want to leave it wild. Do what you want, O nafs. Doesn't matter how much my nafs pressing me, do this. This example here, you keep the fast. In the fast, you control the nafs. During the fast, you control the nafs. You feel like drinking water, you won't drink water. You feel like eating sweet, you won't eat sweet. You feel like going to your wife, you won't go to your wife. Thousands of things you stop, you prevent your nafs. And it's not that 99.9% of the men do amal on this. Not just small man people, me, people like me, sinful. Even he will do amal on this because I've kept the fast. Yes, this is the practice, this is the method, the practical aspect of fasting. The same way we have to control our nafs for the rest of our life. So if one day a man for a few hours controls his nafs, and after controlling his nafs till the evening according to Allah Ta'ala's preference and he breaks his fast, then the heavens is announced that he's become my friend. Allah Ta'ala announces. Just after a few hours we control. So if all life long a person does mujahada, works hard, makes effort, oh, there's too much hard to do this, it's difficult, that is the case. Just like in the fast, is it easy? Yes, to keep hungry, not drink water. Is it easy during the fast, not to eat, control yourself? No, it's hard. There's no taste, no enjoyment in keeping the fast, is it? Yes, we have to give pain to the nafs, to the base desires. And if we say, I do dhikr, I should be wali Allah, I'm doing dhikr, I'm reciting Quran, etc., etc., etc. You're doing everything. But what we need to see is that your nafs, how much has it been controlled? If with dhikr your nafs is not in control, then you're not attaining the objective of dhikr. Mahazza said, your dhikr is without benefit. Your dhikr is without benefit. If you have all the tasbihs you are doing, the dhikr you're doing, and if after that, after doing tasbih and dhikr, you still obey your nafs, then your dhikr is a waste. So tell me, you have then lost in the playing field. In the means, dhikr is not a waste. It doesn't mean that dhikr is a minor action. No. Dhikr is not a minor action. It's not insignificant. But you have not worked hard on your dhikr. You need to work harder. Yes? On the amal, you need to work harder. More effort is needed. Just now, for example, your nafs is fat and big. And with a little bit of dhikr, you will not be able to control your nafs. For example, if you say, I want to do this action. From today I've made intention, I want to keep the beard. Then how much do you keep the beard? The beard, the length that the Rasulullah prescribed, the fist length. I'm going to keep the beard. Now the nafs, it gives difficulties and it will put obstacles. How do I listen to this hukum? How do I fulfill this instruction? This is mujahada, making effort. You say no, question doesn't arise. You're doing dhikr, praying salah, doing actions, and you are giving yourself the contentment. No. You're following your nafs. You're not doing the right thing. This is the nafs tabligh, nafs salah, nafs dhikr, nafs tilawat. Until now, you have not done the tilawat of waliyullah, from which Allah Ta'ala will be pleased. Even reciting the way Allah Ta'ala will be pleased. You haven't done the dhikr through which Allah will be pleased. You haven't done the action through which Allah will be pleased. Why? Because the sign of that is that from the action, Allah is becoming pleased. Then you will leave that sin. You will shun that sin according to Allah Ta'ala's instruction. You do the action. Then you can understand that dhikr you have done, Allah has accepted, and you are getting the benefit of that dhikr. If you're not getting the benefit, then you'll have to increase the amount. For example, you're given a medicine, 200 milligrams tablet, pain's not going away. Then 500 milligrams, then it's not getting the pain. Then 1000 milligrams will be prescribed. The medicine will be given, increase in strength, so that sickness that's increasing, multiplying, be controlled. So if from dhikr a little bit, then increase the dhikr. Dhikr from Shaykh asks the cure, what's the solution? I can't control this, what shall I do? Yes, this big sin I'm committing, the Rasulullah I'm opposing his deen, his way. So will I be at peace? I'm praying salah and that's it, that's good. No, the question doesn't arise that you're at peace. You're praying salah, but in the way of sin. You're following your nafs, obeying your nafs. You're not following Allah Ta'ala's rada, his instruction and pleasure. You're doing dhikr. You're obeying your nafs and doing dhikr. You're not doing it with Allah's rada. We need dhikr that gives Allah Ta'ala's rada, pleasure. We need the salah that Allah gives Allah Ta'ala's rada. We want the tilawat of Quran that is in parallel with Allah Ta'ala's rada. We want ta'lim and tabliq alongside with Allah Ta'ala's rada, pleasure. Every action, whatever we do, should be high level, high class. We need it that in obedience to Allah Ta'ala and his rada, not and we should be opposition to nafs. Then we know that our amal has been accepted. But we're committing sins on going and doing amal. Then we are making our heart happy and making our nafs even fatter, so that people start praising, oh, he's doing salah. Oh, he's doing this and he's pious and he's doing work of the deen and he's making his fat and big. And he thinks, I'm fine, that I'm succeeding. I don't need to keep the full length bib. I'm accepted. I've become kamil. No. If you want to weigh yourself, analyze yourself, that's the measure, the weight scale of the Sharia and the Sunnah. Weigh yourself on that and then consider, am I successful or am I a failure? Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is the real crux of the matter. What we need to understand. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he stated, as Anas radiallahu anhu, this, remember the hadith I was sharing with you, yes, that Allah Ta'ala's when you're in the service of the Wali Allah, you get a great reward. And here, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu is saying that the gift I got from Rasulullah, with happiness he gave me this gift. And that Sahabi, they imagine his height, his rank, his status, he was a star. He said, this gift I'm getting, but I don't want to hide it, conceal it. I want to bestow it and share it with the whole Ummah. This was their style, their caring. So, I was telling you about khidmat, service, that Rasulullah gave this gift due to the sahabi's khidmat, Wali Allah now, and a friend of Allah who has crushed his desires and he's being sent into Jannah without accounting. May Allah Ta'ala make us a person like this. That today we crush our desires and tomorrow without hisab we will go into Jannah inshallah. Fight your nafs, oppose your desires, control your desires. So, the path and he will see a person, he'll say, Janab Hazrat, assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam. He said, I'm going to Hellfire, Hazrat, have you recognized me? He said, till now, I haven't recognized you. He said, shall I introduce myself to you? He said, yes. He said, do you remember that place you were going by somewhere and I gave you a glass of water to drink? I loved you and I gave you a glass of water and I served you, helped you, but I'm being thrown into Jahannam. So he stood there, the friend of Allah, and he said, Ya Allah, you promised that you take intercession of your friends, your walis. This man, he served me, helped me, I'm now going to Jannah. And it does not feel good to me that in this dunya he served me, even a glass of water he gave to me. How can I leave him behind? Allah say, go my friend, how can I reject your request? You take him with you into Jannah, paradise. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So wali Allah, if you serve him, assist him, a pious person, if you serve him, this is just a glass of water. And people, they give their whole lives in khidmat. I've seen in the khanqas, subhanallah, 70 years they spend in the service of the sheikh, and no way is there a crease on their forehead out of complaint. For this reason, they want Jannah and Allah's radha. They're not serving that man for the sake of that man. Allah has given them a path. They serve my wali. He's adopted it, embraced it. This glass of water is ajeeb. The Allah Ta'ala, he forgives a person like that. So when this maqam you get for serving a wali Allah, for khidmat, serving him. So that sahabi, a companion from the age of 8 years, he was in the service of Rasulullah. Then the gift he's been given, is it a small one? Subhanallah. That in the life, Hazrat Anas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his whole life, you see, he was unique from the other companions. Most age, he was the most in age, 120 years old. So many children, kathir, you'd lose count, counting his children. Subhanallah. Why? Because after this amal, why was he given this? That when you do this action, obviously, Allah's Nabi sallam, his friends were Saj. That when they heard a nasiha, advice, they could not imagine they will hear the nasiha and that they would not practice it. It never happened, impossible. Today we should have that style of thinking. The nasihas, they are hadith. So when we ask a alim or hear a hadith from an alim or a human being, then when it comes to us, the nasiha of Rasulullah has arrived to us. So like the sahaba ikram, we should do amal on that. The hadith, don't leave that amal that Allah's Nabi Sallam via the hadith is prescribed to us. We hadith, day, night, bayanat, ta'leem, education, taqreez, lectures, waaz. At least one hadith, do amal on one hadith. At least one hadith, I'm telling you, one hadith. Wallahi, if me and you do amal on this one hadith, the whole society of Islam will be aligned, realigned. The heavens to the earth, the gap will be filled with Allah's rahmah. I swear by Allah on this one hadith, this hadith of salam. Hazrat Anas radhiyallahu anhu, his life showed us the example, demonstration. What was said? That was the root of this. Anas, that when you do this action, then listen, Allah's barakat will descend upon you. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Where there's barakat, there's no fighting. Where there's barakat, there's no quarrels. Where there's barakat, the children are not disobedient. Where there's barakat, the relationships don't break. Where there's barakat, the mother and father respected. With this barakat, that family in between, they mend and join. With this barakat, there's no haram earnings, there's no interest earnings, no sood, riba, there's no non-shari actions. There'll be alims, hafid and qari there in their midst. There'll be practicing, there'll be pain, fikr. Mother and father will have pain, that I want to teach my child deen, that the worldly love, this is barakah, is not there. Remember this barakah, blessings. The meaning of blessings, where blessings come, where Allah Ta'ala gives blessing due to serving. The guarantee is there. After this amal, Allah Nabi said that whoever does this action in his home with his housefolk, says salam, the guarantee comes, that all of the issues will evaporate. This is called barakat coming into the home. From this one action, Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallam, then if you consider this sunnah, when you enter into the house, first and foremost, you see your family members, who's there, who's not there, they're present, not. Even if there's nobody there, in the hadith is stated, it doesn't matter if you can't see, but there are jinn Muslims living with you, there are angels there. When you do salam like this, then barakah will go to them, they will reply to you. Subhanallah. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. They will answer to you, reply to you. When you do salam, when you enter the house, when you go to Fajr Salah in the morning, your children, your wife, and they're sleeping, they've prayed, they're going to sleep, or your children have slept, and you see, who am I giving salam to? Don't worry, the angels are waiting for you. Muslim jinns are present in the home. Jinnat, Muslims, they are friends of you in your home. They stop, and and they're there, and they stop bad things. But the Muslims, the jinns, they're your home, they're in your home, they're friends, but they're there where there's Quran, there's hadith, where Rasulullah, as soon as they're with dhikr adhkar, then they come and they make that place their abode. They say, oh, this is a nice house, we'll live here as well with him. He does ibadah, we'll do dua with him. And they'll be included in your duas, they'll give barakah to you. But with their shaitaniyat, satanic actions, then shaitani jinns come in that house. They'll make you fight and quarrel and argue and all diseases and issues they bring. They say, what's the cure for jinn? The cure for jinn is Rasulullah, Nabi al-Karim, sunnah, his lifestyle, live according to his lifestyle. Bring that into your life. Yes, that, for example, there's no cure, go to the amils, the magicians, straightforward answer with this jinnat in the house, then revive the sunnah in that house. Guaranteed, I tell you, 30, 40 days before that, your house will be wiped clean. Why? Because the real jinns will come and they will beat the bad jinns. Get out, they will say. But you and your home have to totally, 100%, not this, that do this, amal, leave that, amal, do this action, leave that, gonchilla, do this wazifa, jinns will run away. No, they don't run away from these actions, recitation. Rather, they make it a permanent abode. They go into the house inside. When you buy out a new house, you go to a new house, every home you go to, if you are buying a house from someone who doesn't have faith, there'll be jinnat. What's the hukum? When you go there, until 7 days in the house, give adhan, all the jinnat will run away. Subhanallah. And 7 days after giving adhan, and then when you go and commit sins and there's music playing, then the jinns will come back. So it's not that, don't make drama life, don't make your life a weird life. Brothers, promise yourselves that we will live our life according to Nabi al-Karim's sunnah and his lifestyle methods. No jinn will come, no problem, they won't give a bad effect to the children, no shaitan, everything will go. Yeah, there are diseases, sicknesses, of course there's no doubt. According to Allah's hikmah, someone becomes sick, Allah elevates somebody's status through sickness, disease. Despite this, if we're following the sunnah, there's no issue in the home. If a sickness comes, that's from Allah, for your progression, promotion, Allah, according to Allah's hikmah. So that's not the reason. So accept that, embrace that, Allah, this is barakah that you give to me, was in my home, there's no haram action, there's no bad thing, because I am following the Rasulullah's sunnah. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So one salam's barakah. Allah's Nabi said barakat will come in your home, and then we've seen in the dunya, in this sahabi's home, the barakat. Look at the hadith, the barakat, blessings that people saw in the house of Hazrat Anas, kathir, so much awlad, children you cannot count. His wives, his children, mal and wealth and money, and his life was so long, barakah, and he was a sahabi, subhanAllah, a great sahabi, unique companion. 120 years old was his age, and Allah gave him the age and he distributed his life to people. What a great sahabi, imagine, a great rank. And his ziyara, whoever did his ziyara, imagine how many people became tabi because they looked at him, did ziyara of him. How many people? 120 years, people continued to become tabi'in. Tabi'in came through him. So, kathir, due to what? Because Allah's Nabi said, then your home, there'll be barakah, blessing. So today, he said, you also do this action, I guarantee to you. As Anas Radhiyallahu Anhu is saying, and this is the reason of sharing this hadith, that you should also do this action when you go home. First and foremost, what should you do? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Will you do this, brothers? Yes. Then he said, alongside that, he gave nasiha. Advice, what a great nasiha he gave, advice. Shall I tell you this as well, in passing, so I can also do amal on this. And we very few, very seldom we do amal on this. If I say to you now, put your hands up, how many people gave salam today? Then I won't ask, but very few will be the number, very few. Very few will be the number, very seldom. We'll just pick our faces up and go home. We'll see their wife, children, everyone. I'm just talking about the empty home, give salam to the empty home. Has anyone given salam? Oh, I just prayed salam and gone home. Brothers, I told you these amal will be nurani at that time when they're according to the sunnah. According to sunnah, you pray salah, it's not, you haven't given a favor to someone by praying salah or reciting Quran, you haven't given a favor upon anybody. Look at the benefit of these actions. Salah, tilawud. Allah has given us a favor, he's given us ibadat, but we don't take the benefit of these actions. So when you do amal on the sunnah and pray salah, then you'll be nur ala nur. Won't stop. It shoots up to the heavens, the nur. When you pray salah according to the sunnah, that salah does not put the brakes on in the world. Any amal you do, according, if you do opposition to the sunnah, and you're trying to satisfy yourself, then the shaitan and nafs, never in the form of sin. If you pray salah, never. If you break, cut your beard, shave your beard and pray salah, how dare you forget that there's any benefit. You've done dhulum on that salah. Rabbana dhalamna anfusana. This is dhulam that we do on our own nafs and ourselves. Allah gives us the opportunity to do ibadah. We do that worship action and we do it in parallel with sin. Like we say in Punjabi, dudh vi ditta, mitha pa, vitha paake. That I've given you milk and then you put some contamination in the ajib milk you gave to drink, you pray salah and you're doing sins in parallel. In the same way, and your salah is going to Allah, you're presenting the salah to Allah in that way. Allah Ta'ala has given us a big favor, has given us tawfiq to prostrate to Him. We stand up alongside that sin. In parallel, do tawbah, repent. Don't play games with Allah. Don't play games. Allah, when He grabs, it's firm. Allah, when He grabs, it's firm. Don't go to Allah with sins. Do istighfar and pray salah. Don't come with the sin. Do istighfar beside. Istighfar when you leave. Allah, Allah, forgive me for my sins. Allah, I'm leaving for your khas ibad. I'm going to your home. Don't recite anything else. Don't recite istighfar, istighfar, istighfar from home to the masjid. Don't come with a head held up high. Lower your head and say, Allah, it's severe sin. Allah, in the form of sin, I've done sujood. My salah will be wasted. Allah, ask forgiveness from you. Keep doing istighfar, istighfar, istighfar when you're going to salah. Those conditions are actions. Allah, I've done this sin, this sin, this sin. Purposely I sinned. And you come and purposely sin and stand in the court of Allah in His home. Astaghfirullah ta'ala rabbi min kulli. What deen we're doing today. Look at the hal we have made ourselves in. Who we? What do we do when you pray salah? Do kathir istighfar. Enter into the masjid. Humble. Lower yourself. Lower your head. And be gathering. Include yourself in the dhikr. Be busy in dhikr. Qalbi dhikr. So that the salah time's coming. Do qalbi dhikr before salah comes. Big time's coming. Ask Allah for forgiveness. Accept your downfalls. And you should be no external sin on you that I'm coming with a sin and I'm joking with Allah, doing munafiqat, hypocrisy, I'm doing sin physically and I'm standing in front of Allah, praying salah. And I say, Allahumma idana salatul mustaqim. And the whole path to salah is sins. Alam ta'alayim, ghayr al-maghdub ilayhim. We say, Allah, that those people who have went to your maghdub and those who are the ghayr, we don't want their way. And from top to bottom, we are in the same way, practically. We stood there and we do sujood and we say, I've just prayed salah, and we wipe our hands on our face. This is munafiqat, hypocrisy. Allah is unhappy, displeased with these actions. Allah has given us a chance. That weren't as much as we can do. Be clean, pure, come to the court of Allah. That's why our ibadat don't take effect. There's one salah, such, subhanAllah. What a great statement that's being said. The insan on one salah when he prays, one salah, subhanAllah. One hadith comes to mind to me. One sahabi came, my noble companion. And said, oh Prophet of Allah, so some sin, 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 I'm finished, destroyed, sin, this sin. The person who does tawbah, then the sin pinches him. We don't even know what is a sin. We don't accept it when he sinned. And he was trembling, shaking, what shall I do? I'm destroyed, I'm finished, I'm going to hellfire. Shrieking, screaming at the time of salah. Allah's Nabi said, sit down, sit down, sit down. He sat him down. And he stood for salah, prayed salah, and he sat down quiet after salah. First question, Allah's Nabi said, that companion, where is it, that man who's just saying sin, sin? He said, Ya Rasul, it's me, I'm present, I'm present. Rasulullah said, that all your sins are forgiven. Say subhanAllah. He said, oh Prophet Allah, so quickly. He said, when you pray salah, isn't it? That when you pray salah before salah, you were something else. Now, you've just prayed salah, all your sins have become forgiven after salah, due to salah. This is salah. This is salah. This is what is salah. One salah is so valuable that all sins are annihilated. They take them out of the roots. The sins that come out of the roots and are forgiven. So, the second point, has Anas radiyallahu anhu, the second nasiha alongside this, he gave advice. He said, Rasulullah said, Anas, when you go towards your home, leaving the masjid from anywhere else, you're going home. In the way, if you meet a Muslim, yes, I meet a Muslim. Do you see a Muslim? Yes, I met this sahabi, that sahabi. You meet people, don't you? In the way, if you come, did you not meet people on your way? Somebody, you stumble along someone, someone's walking, whatever. Okay, if not, you come to the masjid, you meet people, don't you? What's our action? Nothing. Just like animals beyond animals, we're going to the masjid, nothing. Just put our heads up and go, hukam. Instruction that when in the way you're coming and in the way you meet a Muslim, then give salam to him. Subhanallah. Give salam to him. Benefit. What's the thawab? Such a great thawab for this action that a man cannot imagine. Why? Because Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to his khadim is giving a gift to his servant. Not a minor gift. Not a small tawfa, not a small gift, not a normal common companion, to his khas khadim, my friends, and his karam, his mercy that he delivered and shared that to us. Purposely, when you should try to meet people on the way after this hadith, that when you come on the way, you meet a Muslim on the way, then give salam to him. What's the reward you'll get? Subhanallah. The reward is so great, that you get both the deen and the dunya. What's the reward? It's stated that your iman, the taste of the iman will come to you. You'll feel it. Hilawat iman. What is halawat? You eat halwa? You eat halwa, isn't it, sometimes? Is it sweet or is it or bitter? Or is it nice? Will halwa be sweet or bitter? Yes, sir. The bitter halwa, will you call it halwa?
No.
Halwa, you cannot define it as halwa. Something that's sweet, what will you say? It's like halwa. In Arabic, everything is called halwa, that's sweet. Yes, if it's sweet, you call it halwa. So, what's the effect? It's got a sweet effect. You understand what I'm saying? So, the iman, the taste of iman, the sweet taste of iman, you will attain, subhanAllah. What? That such your iman will be made. Yeah, look at the smooth tafsir of this, you'll hear, you'll enjoy it. Your iman will become so nice and complete that Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul, any hukum that comes, it will be to you, you will feel it like it is sweet, like the halwa. Halwa, nobody leaves halwa. If it's announced at the back now, there's a cauldron, a pot of halwa, by force you'll turn around and look, then I'll have to be forced to feed you the halwa, then we'll have to do the halwa, such a thing, and the Sufi satta, will they leave it? Of course not. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi gave the example, the hilawat will come into your iman. In other words, when Allah's hukum is coming, keep the beard, then there'll be so much sweetness in you that you'll run towards that action and that deed. Allah's hukum will come, praise Allah, you'll run to the action, praise Allah. Whatever hukum will come to you, close to you, will be so sweet and enjoyable and beautiful, subhanAllah, that until you don't do the action, you won't go to sleep. You will go home and you'll say that neighbor has sent this tasty halwa with butter melting on top, and all the taste is there, the effect, I don't know what people put in the halwa, and this heat is coming off, and you've prayed salah and done dhikr and gone home, and you see halwa is there and it's melting. Not eat it now, eat it in the morning, you'll be told. I don't think any mujahid will stop. You say, first I'll speak to the halwa, then when the morning comes, that's a second time. Does anyone leave halwa? Nobody will leave it. So in the same way, when Allah's hukum comes, iman should have that sweetness, that taste, enjoyment. The first and foremost, he will do that amal. Fajr time comes, adhan, he'll say, I'll be gone with you, O sleep. The taste I get in my salah, I do not get in the sleep. Say, Subhanallah. Because the Sahaba Akram, noble companions, say, all night long they did ibadat. Why? Because they had the taste of the halwa, they enjoyed the halwa. There was the taste, the enjoyment in their iman. All night long, they did talawat recitation in salah. Why can't we do it? Because where there's halwa, there's no tossing and turning. So there's no taste in our iman, there's no sweetness. So Allah's Nabi, some every action, every deed, Ali Hukum of Allah and His Rasul, is bitter for us. A bitter pill. Isn't this case? Ajeeb tafsir. This is the tafsir of the faqir. This is the tafsir of the humble servant. So this is the reason, because there's no taste and sweetness in our iman. If taste and sweetness comes to our iman, then those people do not stop in doing amal, in doing actions. And they don't wait that, yaar, oh, do tawbah, oh, I'll do tawbah some other time. No, praise Allah, I'll start from tomorrow. We'll start from Jummah. Oh, do this action, I'll start from another day. Dhikr? No, don't delay in every action. The mu'min, dhikr, that there's so much sweetness in this action, so much sweetness in dhikr, that the person who does dhikr, yes, Mawlana Rumi, rahmatullah, great shair, and the Farsi poem, he said, when I recite the name of Allah, then every ounce within me, every particle within me, it's melting. Melting. Will he leave the dhikr of Allah? When a person, a mu'min, knows that Zakriya Masjid dhikr is being hosted, will he leave dhikr? Will he have to be invited? No, we don't have ilawah, taste, sweetness in our iman. We don't have it. We don't do that action that gives us the taste of iman. If we do that amal, subhanAllah, say subhanAllah, what amal? That every Muslim in the way, when you see someone, and with this niyah, with the niyah of this hadith, no other intention, that because my friend, I want to borrow money from him, or I want to borrow this from, take from him, or make a friend with him, then I'll get married through him, or I know this man, if I make him a friend, I'll be able to do actions through him. There's no lillah in that. That's dunya. No. According to Rasulullah's hadith, that the taste of iman will come. For that taste of iman, every Muslim, enemy, friend, without any differentiation, he's come in front of you, he's a Muslim, you meet him on the way, and maybe you've got a clash with him, you don't like him, no, immediately that he should come. Allah Ta'ala, send this man for my test, examination, say salam, and let's see whether he gives me the answer or not, reply or not, say subhanAllah. Subhanallah. So don't think, oh, will he answer to me? Will he respond to the salam? Will he reply? Then this defeat. We have to think, Allah has instructed whether he's my enemy. Therefore my test, the first man who's come across me is this man. Say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Don't wait, he's going to give you a reply. That's his destiny. That's his fortune. You've got the reward. Regardless, and double. One is the test that you've passed. One is your friend if you met him. That's a normal thing, but also you got the test on top of that, that this man's against you, and you have succeeded in that test, so double hilawat, double the taste of him. One for the salam, one for opposing, and not disregarding that he's not with you. So do you understand what I'm saying? This fakir, I don't know how to give speeches, lectures. These are a few points that I share with you. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you don't understand, then it will come live, the bayan, then hear it again, repeat it again. Apart from looking and watching other things left and right, run after these bayans. The more you listen to them, the more hilawat will come in your iman. You understand now what's the meaning of hilawat now? Yes. So now you understand I've prescribed to you hilawat. Halawat is one or two. Yes. You understand? Look at the definition I've given to you. This is the faqir's definition. This is the style of the way a faqir speaks. So brothers, alongside this, Allah's Nabi said another ajeeb, unique. Imagine the reward. He's giving reward to his khadim. And this is coming to our qismat. He said, you'll get taste of iman. Hilawat, another point on top of that. And for us, this is very valuable indeed, my brothers. If your wife says to you, for example, she's beautiful, handsome, you just got married, fresh, just a week has passed, and a very beautiful and attractive wife, she says to you, go and get milk and bread from the corner shop. Yeah? Tell me truth. This will happen just like I'm telling you. And you are from this country now. It's a hot day and you've left home to get the bread, and your wife and you newly wed. When you go to the shop to get the bread and when the clothes are off, it's hot. You know what libas runs in this weather, and where your sight will go glance. You've just been married 1 week, fresh, newly wed. And such sights and the arrows that come across your way and the sins that you commit at that time. Because nafs is not in control. Human is just been married. Just got married. What a big sin. The evil glance, the sin. You cannot imagine the sin of the evil glance. And this is so common today. Just like a man, he has sucked a mango. That common. So common is this sin today. So easily we look on the phones, the images of women. Every second is with us. And this is such a big sin. Such a big sin. Such a massive punishment. And thereafter a man will say, Yaar, all my life, that if Allah didn't give me sight, it was better. Even if I was blind, it was better. That Allah, how did I make this mistake that I looked at women like this with an evil glance? Look at the hadith now. That you come, Mulana Sahib comes, Sufi Sahib comes, Hazrat Sahib comes, all these people come. But nobody knows that all the sins he's committed in the path on the way. You go and you meet a man and he starts to speak to you, backbiting with you, lying, sins. You meet someone, say salam, few footsteps you walk. I'm telling you the reality. A few ghibat statements a person says. Look at him, look at that person, this person, backbiting that person, that person, shaitan's with you. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu stated, that were anas. When you leave your home, every Muslim, you give salam to someone, to another person, the next word you'll get is that in this path, all the sins you have committed, knowingly, unknowingly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all of those sins. Subhanallah. So we are severely in need of this because we are in the era of fitna. Definitely the example I've given to you, why? Because definitely a person commits sins. Definitely a person commits sins. He lies, backbiting, he looks with an evil glance, wrong look, thousands of ways, the longer the distance, the more distance you come, the thinking, the ways. Allah Nabi said you gave salam, due to that sadaqah you'll get this reward, that the sins you committed on the way, all of those will be forgiven. And can there be more than this that you can attain from this majlis? The dhikr is such a great reward Allah Ta'ala has bestowed to us. That this hadith was coming, this came to my mind. I was thinking, what shall I share and discuss today? And Allah said, such a discussion that all of you will enjoy from this discussion. Totally, 5 minutes before this came to my mind, what shall I discuss with my friends that will benefit me as well? Alhamdulillah, due to your barakah, blessings, such a point Allah Ta'ala instilled into my mind, hadith, that I have benefited a lot, alhamdulillah. All the paths have opened for us. How Allah Ta'ala's karam and mercy and blessings have come to us due to the sadaqah of this majlis. So definitely go to those gatherings where there's dhikr, where the majalis of dhikr are present. Allah's Nabi Sallam promised that the person who goes to that gathering will not leave empty handed. The whoever does amal on this, is he empty-handed? Tell me. Tell me this hadith, whoever does amal on this, will he be empty-handed? Those people who have got no amal, who have heard this is necessary, I commit sins, I pray salah. After today, he should do tawbah. Most verily, he will do tawbah. He doesn't want to waste his deeds and say, I won't do this act today, I'll keep the long bit, the right length, I won't lie, I won't backbite. My salah is being wasted, my sujood are being wasted. I'm doing everything according to my nafs. This is the hukum of Allah's Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all of this is rahmah, Allah's karam and mercy. So whatever we've heard, Allah's Nabi via Rasulullah, whatever his words have arrived to us, Allah's karam and mercy and blessing come to us, come, let's promise in our hearts that we, after today this sin, that when the sins we have committed, say loudly, the sins that we have committed, after today this sin, inshallah, we will not repeat. That's it. End of story. We haven't even said it. Alhamdulillah, the sin has been eliminated by Allah. This is called tawbah. That's it. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala, you know the reply He'll give? That today you have promised to me you won't do this sin again. Then listen, my promise was also there, Allah says, that individual who listens to my order, who listens to my Nabi Sallam's order and does tawbah, then in the heavens I announce, Allah says, that I have made that person my friend. Subhanallah. So you've got belief in this or not, but from Allah the announcement comes for sure. Whoever has made this promise, Allah, due to you, I have eliminated this sin from my life today. It's coming to my heart, this point. I appreciate this hadith of your Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, great rule you've given. Whoever has committed the sin at this point in time, from your heart, accept and take it out. Whatever you've done on the way, Allah, I do this sin, I have the wrong glance, the evil glance, I do lie, etc. Allah, I repented this time, and I won't commit this sin again, I'll try my best. Do we make this promise, brothers? This is the Majlis of Dhikr. You cannot leave empty-handed. May Allah Ta'ala give to us all the tawfiq to implement this. Ameen. Come, let's for a little short while do dhikr of Allah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As-salatu wa s-salamu ala Sayyidina Mursaleen. Ya Allah, tu apne fazl kam se humare gunahon ko maaf farma. Hamari khataon ko maaf farma. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, hamari ibadat ko qabul farma. Ya Allah, hamari namazon ko qabul farma. Hamare gharon mein barkat naseeb farma. Ya Allah, hamare gharon se bimariyon ko dur farma. Aafat ko dur farma. Pareshaniyon ko dur farma. Apni rehmaton ki barish naseeb farma. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, har mauzi marz se hame bacha. Ya Kareem, Ya Rahim, hame achha musalman bana. Namazi bana. Zikr karne wala bana. تبلیغ کرنے والا بنا یا اللہ دین پھیلانے والا بنا تلاوت قرآن کرنے والا بنا یا اللہ شکر کرنے والا بنا اے میرے مولا تو اپنے فضل کرم سے ہمیں نیک بندہ بنا وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقہ محمد و آلہ و صحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون والسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین آمین.